So if you will, open your Bibles. Hallelujah. 1 Kings chapter 16. Hallelujah, Jesus. Influence. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you. We thank you for what you're doing, God. We thank you, Lord, that you know everything about us, God. And Father, we can trust you and we can wait on you, Father God. Father, you've told us not to be excited and not to be, or not so much excited, but not to be stressed. But Lord, to just trust you, place our trust in you and receive that peace that that you will give to us, Father. So we do that this morning, Father. We thank you that you are a mighty God and you're watching over us and you are making decisions for us, God. So we thank you for that this morning. Father, I pray as we read the word, as we get into your word, Father God, that you would open the ears of everyone here in this building, Lord, myself included, to hear what you're saying to the church this morning, to hear your direction, Father. We wait upon you, Lord. Upon you. And we thank you for it and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Talk a little bit about Elijah. How many of you guys like Elijah? Yeah, I like this guy, man. Hallelujah. Starting at verse 29 in chapter 16 of 1 Kings. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab the son of Omri became king over Israel, and Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord, more than all who were before him. That's not good, amen? Everybody say not good. Not good. And it came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took as his wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians. And he went and served Baal and worshipped him. So one thing to serve a false god, but to worship a false god, come on, man. What's wrong with that, huh? A king of Israel doing this, not good. Then he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. I'll just say something real short and quick. Can I tell you that the United States of America is provoking the Lord to anger? How many know that? Is that true? I would say so. We got to be very careful, folks. Our nation is doing some things that shouldn't be done. And like Ahab here, absolutely incorrect in what God had called him to do as a king of Israel. Amen. A king is called to lead people to love the Lord their God. Amen. That's what a king's about. And this guy was bringing in Baal, Ashtaroth, because his wife worshipped Baal, worshipped Ashtaroth. So it's just not good. And how many of you know when things are not going good, God sends somebody to talk to them about it. Is that right? I love it about God. God's always concerned about where we're at. And he will, I mean, if you're not doing good, let me tell you something. And when I talk about not doing good, if you're doing things you ought not to be doing because of God that has bought you with a price, if you're doing things that are contrary to him, just because you like to do them, I'm going to tell you something. He's going to send somebody in to speak to you. Things are going to happen to begin to talk to you because he does love you and he cares about you. And you say amen to that. You can smile with that too. Yeah, say amen, brother, amen. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, he's good. I better quit doing what I'm doing. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Is that right? Praise God. Hallelujah. So verse 17, it says, and Elijah the Tishbite, I'm saying chapter 17, Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain these years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook of Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook that I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. Pretty bold statement, wouldn't you say? Goes to the king of Israel and he says this. He goes, "It is not going to rain until I say it will rain." That's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? How many of you know that king said, "Yeah, whatever, bro. Get out. Go on, man." But I'm sure from the time that he said it, and I know that from the time that he said it, rain did not fall on all of Israel. And it was taking a while. It might have been taking quite a while before this king begins to realize, I wonder what's going on. Can't be. Another week of no rain. No, can't be. Another week of no rain. Can't be. No way can a man like him command the weather. How many know that? How many know that God has called us into similar things? Is that right? God has called us into a boldness that speaks things even stronger than what we ever thought of ourselves. How many know that? Do you know that you're more than what you think you are? How many know that? You are so much more. What Christ has done for us is redeemed us. He's placed His Spirit within us. And you are so much better off than you've ever been in your life, no matter what's going on in your life. You just don't know how good it is. Amen? I told the story how one time John and Stella and I were going to a place, and Rosie, my wife, sorry, keep leaving my wife out. Where's she at? Oh, there. Hi, babe. And we were driving into Tucson to a place where we didn't know where it was. So I found out on the car how to put it in the GPS thing. So I got it in there. And it took us right to where we needed to go. When we left, it kept telling us, "Make a U-turn." Isn't that right? Make a U-turn. See, I didn't know how to turn it off. I got it on okay, but all the way, I said, "Turn that thing off." But the funny thing about it, when you turn the volume down on the speakers, it still kept coming on. Turn, make a U-turn. It kept trying to take us back to where we had gone. And that car, and even your cell phone, how many of you have figured out your cell phone totally and completely? How many? Is there anybody in the house that has that? You have figured it out totally and completely. You see, there are things in that cell phone that you don't know about. It will do things for you that you've got no idea. How many know that? Is that right? And that's the same as Christ in you. There are so much things that He's placed within you. You've got no idea what it's like. You've got no idea how great it is to be redeemed. You've got no idea. I've got no idea. But let me tell you something. It's in my heart to learn. I want to know, God, what more can there be? Oh, there can be a lot more. Isn't that right? Come on, man. Ooh, yeah. Hallelujah. The price that He paid for you. The price that He paid for you is so much more than you can imagine. And we sometimes with our lives, you know, "Oh, God, you know, I can't make the rent." Come on, man. Hallelujah. He's placed so much within us. Hallelujah. We just don't know how to. But if we'll spend time with Him, God will begin to speak to us and tell us things that we hadn't. The Word of God says it this way: "Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for you." He's already prepared them for you. Hallelujah. But you got to sit down. In Psalm 24, He says, "He has prepared a place for me. He's prepared a place for me at His table in the presence of my enemies," is what He says in Psalm 24. Prepared a place for you. It's already prepared for you. All you've got to do is sit down and eat from it. Amen? And how many like eating from the table of the Lord? I'm going to tell you something. When God begins to feed you, there's nothing like it. You say, hey, man, you know what? I'm going back to that table. How many say? I'm going to tell you something. When God begins to talk to you, when he brings a word into your heart, man, it is like gold. And you say, I'm going back. I'm going to go back. I want to go back. Amen? Hallelujah. Keep going back. Because there is so much more that God has for you. It's crazy. It's crazy. Hallelujah. But to stand and tell a king, it's like you or me. Dennis, it's like you going up to President Obama right now and tell him, hey, man, it's not going to rain until I tell it to you. Hallelujah. Till I say it's going to rain, it's not going to rain. And you walk up, and the Lord says, okay, Dennis, go hide yourself for a while. Amen. You know why the Lord told him to go hide? Because when that king began to think about it, he started thinking, it had to be, this famine that's coming on our land is because that guy said it wasn't going to rain. Go get him. Go find him. You know, the Bible says, you're going to find that in the, I'm not going to read this whole story. It's a beautiful story. But the Bible says that king was sending out his men to go find Elijah. But God had hid him. How many know that? I like being hid by God. How many know that? I'm going to tell you something. It's not comfortable for me to be up here. It's not. Just not. I shake and I get nervous and I said, Lord, I don't know, man. And I'm afraid I'm going to lock up. Is that right? You guys know what I mean? I feel like, okay, go home, guys. I don't know what I'm saying. I'd rather be hidden. Hallelujah. I'd rather be in a place where I said, Lord, I'll just stand in the back and pray. Amen. But that's not my decision. The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. Do you know what that means? What he's called you to do is so important to you that when you begin to do it, blessing from his mouth to your ear begins to happen. And you're going to hear things you've never heard before. You're going to see things you've never seen before. You're going to look at people and you're going to understand what's going on in their lives because God knows what's going on in their lives and he's going to use you to learn to minister to them because we are Christ in the earth. How many know that? Praise God. Hallelujah. But that boldness. How many of you are attracted by the boldness of Elijah? To go up into a king and say, man, dude, it's not going to rain, man. I don't care if you call me an idiot. This is what the Lord, my God, has said to me. And I'm saying it to you, Ahab, not going to rain. I love that boldness, don't you? How do you get to that boldness? How do we get that boldness? And that's why I said, Lord, how do I get that boldness? Because I want to be bold in those streets out there. How many know that? I want to be bold wherever I go. I want to be bold in Safeway. I want to be bold in the auto parts store. Hallelujah. I want to be bold in Home Depot. Bold in, what's that other one called? Lowe's. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Some of our ladies are bold, man. Hey, we got coupons here, man. Pew. Bold, eh? Amen? Come on. Hallelujah. I love it. Hey, how do we get the boldness? Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. I'm sorry, I'm probably not in order. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your strength. This is the first commandment. I'm going to tell you something, folks. The focus is on us. God is saying, this is what I will tell you about you. If you want to gain in the kingdom of God, if you want to advance in the kingdom of God, love the Lord your God with all your love, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. Just do that. Once you begin to do that, hallelujah, you're going to find that God begins to speak to you like crazy. And how many of you know There's a lot of distractions. Do we have distractions in the earth today? Hallelujah. Do you know that we're called to know how to handle those distractions? Do you realize that? Say, Lord, how do I handle those distractions? How do I get to that point, Father, to where I have such a boldness that I can walk up to a president and say, hey, it's not going to rain? I'll give you another scripture. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Hallelujah. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. See, there's got to be a mindset that we say, hey, you know, the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to talk to God. I think I mentioned it earlier that people are expecting to die. Is that right? But the body of Christ should not be expecting to die. They should be expecting more life. Life and more abundant. And don't ask me what it is. I don't know. But what is it in your life? More abundant life is important to you. Because once it begins to hit you, you're going to realize God is doing something in my life. He's taking me somewhere. He's healing my body. He's strengthening my mind. How many want your mind strengthened? I mean, you know what? You can buy all these powdered stuff that they offer you, but I don't know if you can even tell a difference. Does anybody buy that stuff and does it make a difference? Anybody that stuff that you drink for your mind, does it make a difference? I don't know. Hallelujah. It's kind of like that septic tank stuff. It's, yuck. You toss it in there, but how do you know if it's working? You just toss it in every month, man. I don't know. I buy this every month, throw it in there. Well, how do you know if it's working? Well, I don't know. I just got no idea. Does it work? Who knows? But the Word of God does work. Hallelujah. When you begin to set your focus on the things above and not on things beneath, woo, hallelujah. I'll tell you, you'll get boldness. You'll get some things. You'll have some love in your heart so that when you talk to somebody that doesn't know the Lord, that love will shine through and you won't feel like one of those pushy Christians telling me what to do. Amen? How many know the world's tired of that? The world is tired of that kind of stuff. What we need is the reality of Jesus Christ in our lives so that when we just get close to folks, they sense something different. Hey, you're different, bro. Lily, you're different. What's about you? What is it? Hey, I love the Lord my God with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind and all my might. You know, you can tell them that. So they think you're crazy. I think they thought Ahab was nuts. It's not going to rain, bro. How you get to that? Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. If you then were raised with Christ, Jesus died for you, and you became born again, and you've been raised with Christ, seek the things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on the things of the earth. Focus, focus, focus. Amen. We got to focus on what God is saying to us. We got to focus on really who we are. We got to focus. Quit focusing on what you're not, what you think you're not. You are so much more than you know. Why not focus on learning about that? Hallelujah. God wants to take you there. He's trying to take you there. And he's given us some simple tools. Simple tools. Find him in your word. Spend some time with him. Talk to him. Pray to him. Listen for him. When you're praying, listen for him. Some folks like to do all the talking. Don't let God talk. God can't get in there. Well, I had something. And then you get up and you always say, well, I had something to tell him, but oh, maybe tomorrow. No. Focus on him. Talk to him. Allow him to talk to you. A lot of people say that they can't hear God. Do you know that? How many people? I'm not going to ask you that. But I'm going to tell you something. The Bible tells us that we are seated at the right hand of the Father. If you're seated at the right hand of the Father, let me tell you, that's close enough that he could whisper and you'd hear it. But the question is, are you listening? Are you listening for that whisper that the Holy Spirit brings to us? Hallelujah. Because once you begin to tune yourself into that whisper, it begins a little louder and a little. Is that right, Peanut? It gets to get a little louder and a little louder and a little louder. God begins to speak to you, and you begin to recognize that voice, and you begin to, yes, Lord, what are you saying to me, God? Hallelujah. Proverbs 16:1. Hallelujah. I'm going to put this in the King James Version because most of the versions that I know of do not say it this way. Most of the versions that I know of say that talks about the preparations of man, his plans, talking about his plans. And then it says, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. But in the King James, I have found this scripture true in my life. The preparations of the heart and man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. You see, God prepares your heart to answer. How many know that? God will prepare you to speak. Hallelujah. He tells another place, open your mouth and I will fill it. I'm wondering if when Ahab went up to, when Elijah went up to Ahab, I'm wondering if the Lord had said that to him before or right when he got there. Because maybe Ahab would have backed out. I'm sorry, Elijah would have backed out. To tell him, hey, there's not going to be any rain. It's not going to rain for you, man. Boldness. Boldness. Hallelujah. God wants us bold. How do you know that? Hallelujah. Man, hallelujah. Yeah, we're going to say some things that might feel weird to us. Is that right? When God begins to speak sometimes, you might say something that feels very, very weird to you. But if you listen and watch, you're going to find that that thing actually, if it was God speaking, you're going to see it moving towards an understanding. Hey, man, that's exactly what I said. How many of you have done that before? It's happened to a lot of folks. It happens that because God speaks, and he speaks in a way that sometimes is hard to understand. Scriptures talk about that. Peter talking about Paul, where he says, you know, Paul says some things that are hard to be understood. Because the Holy Spirit is speaking. Hallelujah. Let's go to Proverbs 3:26. I want to show you this confidence, a little bit of confidence. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. How many know that? Do you know that God is your confidence? He'll be your confidence. He'll keep you. He'll watch over you. He'll take care of you. Folks are going, well, where are you going with this, man? Sometimes we're not as confident as we should be with God. I remember being up at the mine when I was working, and I was working on machines that I didn't know much about when I first started working on them. They were air compressors, or compressed airs, pneumatic. And the more I worked on them, the more I learned about them. Something would break down on them, and I would fix it. And I just had no real idea of what they were and how what they were doing. I had kind of an idea, but I didn't know. So I had asked one time, I said, can I go to school to learn something about them? They said, sure, we'll send you. So they sent me to school, and I learned about these pneumatic, their rotary air compressors. Learned some things while I was there. I go, oh, that's how that works. Oh, that's why that works. I didn't even talk about it, but there was a spring that kept breaking on a machine that I had, and it kept breaking this spring. So you know how I fixed it? I bought a box of springs. So when I got there to the school, they asked if you got any problems with your machines that you want to know about. I said, yeah, I keep breaking these spring control springs. And he goes, and how are you relieving? I said, well, I bought a box of springs. And he laughed. He goes, you'd be surprised. That's what a lot of guys do. He says, we're in the school. We're going to show you how to control that so that spring's not under tension all the time. And all. So I learned some stuff. I really did. I liked it. I enjoyed it. Well, when I got back, My boss tells me, okay, now that you learned, you're going to teach it. I go, what? What are you talking about, man? Now it's a different story, isn't that right? Well, the fact of the matter is, being that I had worked around them, and I knew these guys didn't have any questions that I might. So I said, yeah, let's have a class. You know, once the class started and the questions they were asking, very, very basic questions, and I got a confidence that welled up in me. Yeah, I'm a compressor mechanic. Yeah, come on. And I thought it was a big deal. I thought it was a big deal, you know what I mean? But the fact of the matter is, the more you know, the more confidence you get. Confidence with God comes from knowing God. Isn't that right? Wouldn't you say that? The more you get to know Him, the more you spend time with Him, the more that you hear Him, you get confident. Get more confident. Get more confident. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to put up Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. So this is what I want to just kind of get into here this morning. Confidence, right? Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. Can I tell you that He's got a good work going on in you right now? You might not think so, but He thinks so. And He says, yeah, I'm doing a good work in you. And I'm just going to ask you to do this. Just be confident that I will complete that work that I've started in you. And that's good. That's a good word right there. Being confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will complete until the day. Anybody ever fallen down? How many? Come on. Hallelujah. Stumbled? Falling down? You got anybody? How many do that? How many do it daily? the Word of God kind of likens, doing something that's contrary to God is stumbling. Do you know that? Hallelujah. Anyway, one time, I was a youth pastor and had my kids in camp and everything. And the last day of the camp, they do this is like a marathon race kind of thing. And so I'm all excited. Yeah, yeah. And here I am, 55. I don't know how old I was then. But I'm going, yeah, come on, man. And so cheering my team. It was my dorm. And we're going to win the race. We're going to win this time. We were doing pretty good, actually. I had some good kids in there. They were fast. And for some reason, and Prescott is where the camp was, and there's hills and stuff like that. For some reason, I decide that I'm going to run with one of my kids down the hill and back up. You remember this, Rosie? She's already laughing. Well, I'm running with this kid, and he's a fast runner, and I'm surprised at myself. I said, yeah, God has given me the feet of a deer. I'm running. I'm going down that hill with that kid, man, and I'm right next to him. Praise God. But what happened? The hill come to the bottom, and then it started up another hill, and I just kept going down. Next thing I know, I'm face first into that in the bottom. It was crazy. And you know how everybody is. They want to go, oh. But behind, they're going, yeah. They're laughing because it was a total wipeout. And I said, why in the world would I do something like that? I'm trying to cheer him on. And he stops to help pick me up. Get going, man. Go. Man. I got a scrape from, so praise God. Well, I fell down and stumbled. You guys like the Olympics? You guys like the Olympics? I was watching the Olympics the other day. It was a ladies 100 relay. Not the relay. Hurdles. And a young lady named Alina Tele. She's a world bronze medalist. On her last hurdle, she tapped the hurdle, lost her balance, and poof. Isn't that crazy? On her last hurdle. And I don't know, I was trying to see, they replayed it a couple of times, they didn't replay it very many times, but I was trying to see if she had looked over at the other runners, because there was some ahead of her, right when she went over that hurdle, where she lost her comfort, lost her focus on where she was at, and tripped over that last hurdle. Right after that hurdle, she made that hurdle, she would have gone in, and I think she might have gotten second or third, because she was pretty far up there. But once you fall down like that, how many you know? They're not going to stop and say, hey, you want to get up? No, they're not going to do that. Hey, we'll wait for you, dude. No, man, they're not going to do that. I mean, the race went on. She came in dead last, which is normal. And I kind of felt sorry for her. You know, I said, man, you know, Olympics, training all year, 4 years, whatever. And to crash like that, man, you know, over hurdles, her last hurdle, all the hurdles the same time. And sometimes, folks, we'll do the same thing. We'll stumble on our last hurdle, and we'll have a hard time getting up. But what I liked about this young lady, Mrs. Taylor, as soon as she hit the ground, it was boom, she was back up and going. It was a quick thing. Boom, she was back up and ran it, finished the race. And, folks, I'm going to tell you something. Be confident that God is doing for you those things that you think you cannot do. He is removing things from you, might be little by little, those things that are contrary to him. Well, how many of you know that we all have those things? We have things that, you know, we say, you know what, I keep falling on this. I keep stumbling with this little issue, right? If I could just get past this one issue, I'd be home free. Amen. Let me just say this. I would like to go to James. James chapter 3, verse 2. For we all stumble in many things. How many know that? Is that true? If that's true, say amen. Amen. We all stumble. We all stumble. But you know what, folks? A lot of times we focus on this first part of this scripture and we don't pick up on the rest of it. And God wants us to pick this up. Because, yeah, we stumble. But then the rest of it says this. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to what? Bridle the whole body. Why would God put something like that in there? Why would the Holy Spirit say something like that to you? Because he who began a good work in you, he will perfect it. He will finish that work that he's done in you. He's going to do it. If you can do it, then who's going to get the glory? You will. Oh, I done it. This is what I did. But when God does it, because you know that you can't do it, and when he does it for you, you're going to say, man, praise God. God is doing a work in me. He is working me. He's removing those things that are so contrary to him. And it says, if anyone, so I want you to stop focusing on, we all stumble in many things, but start focusing on anyone who does not stumble in word, that you become a perfect man because God's taking you to perfection. Do you know that? Everybody say, man, hey, man. Everybody say perfection. And, because nobody wants to say that word. Say perfect. Perfect. Hallelujah. Do you know that being perfect, the way we think about it, is totally different than the way God thinks about it? Do you realize that? Do you realize that Jesus Christ did everything perfectly before his Father? The sufferings that he went through, he did them perfectly before his Father. And see, it's not what we do, it's what he did that God believes, that speaks to us. He says, this is what my son has done for you. Perfection. He's done it for you. But we're afraid to say it. We're afraid to go, oh, don't go there, brother. You are perfect in Christ. It's what the Word of God tells you. It tells you that you've been perfected forever by him that dwells in you. And we're so afraid to get it. Nobody's perfect. We use those excuses because we stumble. We have a little stumbling bout, and we don't believe that God could remove it. But when you start believing that God can do far abundantly above all that you can ask or think, then he's going to do it, and he's going to make you perfect. Because it's not you anymore, it's him. Because you've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But it's not me that lives, it's Christ that lives in me. He is perfect. And he has enjoined you to a covenant that says, I will work these things. You just got to yield yourself to me. Praise God. How many like yielding yourself to God? Sometimes it doesn't feel good. But I'm going to tell you something, it's good for us. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 says this. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will what? What's that word?
Never.
Does it say never or does it not say? You will never stumble because you're diligent to make your calling and your election sure. What God has called you to, what He's called you into, the things that He's given you, be diligent to make them sure in your life. What does that mean? To secure them. Hey, this is mine. This belongs to me. Like I was telling the brother this morning, receive what God has given you. Is that right? Maintain what God has given you. And then what God has given you, you're going to begin to influence. Because it's God that's given it to you and nobody else. I am here to tell you, yes, you can be perfect. Not a lot of folks like to hear that. But it's the word of God. It really is. That's what it says right here. For you, if you will do these things, you will, I like the word, never stumble. It doesn't say you will stumble sometimes. Sometimes, you, I mean, you know what? We do stumble sometimes. But if you maintain what you have with God, it's going to take you to a place where you never stumble. And that's crazy. Because, folks, we've got a work to do. We've got something to move into. I got one more scripture for you, Jude verses 24 and 25. Hallelujah. Jude chapter 10. Everybody find that? Come on, you guys. Hey, wake up. Hello. Is everybody asleep? Did I put you to sleep already? Praise God, man. Hallelujah. Hello. Jude is one book. Sorry. I don't think I need to explain that. Jude verse 24 says, is now to him who is able to keep you from what? Who does it? Not you. Not you, man. Not you. Isn't that right, Danny? It's not you that does it. It is he that keeps, he is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you what? Faultless. Hallelujah. Come on. You don't think he's serious about what he's saying here? He is serious. He's so serious, he sent his son to a cross for you. He's serious.
Amen.
Praise God. He is able to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now, forever, and ever. I'm going to tell you something. I've said this verse to folks, and they've told me, well, that's when we make it to heaven. I don't know. I kind of have a different idea. Because the Word of God tells us to pray this way, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And hallelujah. These things are accessible on earth now if we'll go after them. If we'll quit being lazy. How many know? How many like being lazy? Anybody like being lazy? Yeah, if I got youth pastor likes being lazy. Sean, I love you, man. Folks, if there's ever a time that we need to go after these things, it's now. It's time to focus on the kingdom of God. There are things going on. Yeah, granted, there's things going on in our world. Granted, there's things going on in our nation. But the focus is not our nation anymore as much as it used to be. Like we used to always. Our focus should be on the kingdom of God and what it's doing. Because that kingdom is going to affect our nation. So we need to affect heaven with our prayers. We need to be in there and saying, God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because the fact of the matter is, that's the only thing that's going to change this whole mess that we're in. We have to be in the presence of God, understanding what he's saying to us. We have to be. We have to be. And I can't make you do it. Amen? I can talk to you all day long till I'm blue in the face. I can drag you. I can take you into my closet with me. But until you get it here, in your heart, in your desire to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your spirit, you ain't going to get it. The place we're in, where Ahab and Elijah were having, Ahab sent a man out to go look for a place where there might be water. And this man they split and they went different ways, and Ahab went one way and his servant went the other way, and his servant runs into Elijah and he says, is that you, Elijah? He goes, yeah. He goes, go and tell Ahab I am going to show myself today. And the servant gets all fired up. He goes, you know, I know the way you prophets are. You're going to be one place. Next thing you know, the Spirit of the Lord takes you somewhere else. And then I go tell Ahab you're going to be there. He's going to kill me. He'll kill me. Elisha says, no, the Lord has said for me to show myself today. It had been 3 years. The famine was in the land that was incredible. Even the little river that Elijah was sitting next to dried up. So there was no water. So he goes and he shows himself, and as there's the story is that it's a great story where well, it's not a story, it's a great account of what happened, where there Elijah challenges the priests of Baal, the priest of Ashtaroth. He challenges them and he says, hey, make a sacrifice. You put a sacrifice, I'll put a sacrifice, but you know what? Don't put any fire in it. We're going to ask your God. You ask your God to answer by fire, and I'll ask my God to answer by fire. What do you say? And they said, okay, let's do it. 450 priests of Baal and 400 priests of Ashtaroth, they show up to this. We're going to show this guy. One prophet. And he tells... And then he says, go ahead, get going, boys. They cut their sacrifice, put it on the wood. And he says, call unto your God. So they start calling unto their God, calling Baal and Ashtaroth. Burn up this sacrifice. Burn up this sacrifice. Burn up this sacrifice. And as we all know, hey, Elijah starts making fun of them. Hey, come on, man. From morning till noon, he's making fun of them. Say, hey, man, call on your God, man. Where's your God at, dudes? Come on, man. And they're getting upset, and they're starting to cut themselves, thinking maybe some blood on their sacrifice would help them out. No answer. How many of you know that? The gods of this world will not answer. There is no other God but one God. How many know that? And they will not answer you. They will not answer you. Man is not a God. How many know that? Man is not a God. He will not. You, come on. Hallelujah. There's only one God. And then Elijah is pretty confident, isn't he? He's a confident fella. So finally, about the time of the evening sacrifice, he says, all right, man, we've had enough of that nonsense, all you guys. He says, he calls the people of Israel over close to where he's at. He says, come on over here. And he had dug a ditch around his sacrifice, and he told them to pour water on his sacrifice. And yeah, you know this was a time of drought. But if you look on a map, you'll see that Mount Carmel is right next to the Mediterranean Sea. That's where Mount Carmel is. So I believe the water was coming from the sea. They were bringing the water up from the sea, and they were dumping it on the sacrifice. And it filled this trench that he had dug around there. And then he went and he said, God, show these people that you're the only God. And the Bible says that fire fell from heaven and it burned up the sacrifice. And you imagine all those priests, man, back up. Oh, man, 850 priests. Different denominations. Never mind. They're there. And then all of Elijah says, grab them. Make sure none of them get away. And they take him down and they kill him. Do you know that Ahab's wife had killed the prophets of the Lord? And Ahab's servant had hidden 100 of them, 50 in a cave. So Ahab's wife was a prophet killer. That's a man of God that would speak the word of God, she'd have him killed. She was a prophet killer. She missed one, amen? Or maybe 101, I'm not sure. So this big victory that Elijah had, the next day, Ahab tells his wife what happened to her prophets. Hey, Elijah had them killed, man, because God answered by fire. Jezebel sends a note to Elijah and says, by tomorrow of this time, God do so to me, if you're not dead by tomorrow. The prophet killer. The hit lady. I don't know. After Elijah. And Elijah, the Bible says, Elijah takes off and he runs. And he goes and he sits down in a place and he says, God, go ahead and kill me. How many know that's not what God had for him? Do you know that Elijah stumbled there for just a little bit? But then the Lord began to minister to him with angels. And finally, as he goes to another place, and he actually sees or hears the voice of God. And then after that, God says, now go over here and do this. And he sends him on his way and tells him what to do. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Yeah, everybody stumbles. We all stumble. But God is doing a work in us that's going to cause us never to stumble. That's a promise. Those are promises I showed you up there. That's what he's saying to you. He loves you enough to make you know that, you know what, you will never stumble. Because it's important to us. Amen? Because it's our redemption, folks. This is what he's redeemed us into. Hallelujah. It's a great redemption. So I want to just say to you this morning, if there are some of you in here that have stumbled over some things and you've not, and you're thinking, you know what, man, you've just been talking to yourself and saying, you know, I'm never going to get over this. It doesn't seem like I can get past this. What I try to do, it doesn't seem like it works out. You know what? Time to do is just this. Just relax. Just relax. Know that God loves you. And he has great things for you. So just go to him, speak to him, spend time with him, and watch what he does. He who began a great work in you will perfect. He will accomplish it just as he's promised. Hallelujah. And it doesn't have to be, well, when I get to heaven, amen? How many know that? It's for right now. If you all stand, let's stand. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you this morning for your word, God. Father, we say, God, we love you. And God, I ask you, Father God, that you would touch my brothers and my sisters this morning. God, help them, Father, to walk in the way that you have perfected for them already. Lord Jesus, reveal from heaven to who their heart, into their hearts, your word that has told them, Father, that they have been perfected forever in Jesus. Thank you for that, Father. Father, I pray for that person that is stumbling over things. Father God, stumbling over pornography, stumbling over alcoholism, stumbling over lust, Father, stumbling over things, Father. I pray that you would touch their heart, Lord. Speak these words to them, Lord. Speak your word that you love them and you care for them. And you, Father, have a purpose and a plan that is far beyond what they even thought about themselves. Thank you for that, Father. I praise you for it this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, and if you agree, say amen. Amen.